everybody, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, and I'm here again in the center of disinformationology. I'm joined by Organis, our show producer, who was so ugly as a child that when his teacher wanted to punish him, she made him look in the mirror. But it turned out that he's quite smart in the end, and he keeps me on the straight and narrow and does the numbers and keeps me under control somewhat. And there's only one place we could start this week, the only game in town, it's BRICS. The big meeting in Russia's Kazan, it's really gone off a treat. We've got over 20 leaders from 30 countries, and they've all got together in isolated Russia. How remarkable. Run the video, Augie.
Putin is now isolated from the world more than he has ever been.
Russia has never been so isolated. We have never been more united.
We can isolate them. We can isolate them in the United Nations. We can isolate them in UN specialized agencies.
We'll also throw Russia back into isolation.
And while BRICS was the only game in town this week, and it was the hot ticket, there was nobody there from the West, funnily enough, as everybody decided on big new energy deals, pipelines, roads, shipping routes up through the North. The Americans and the British were kind of sat at home, looking out the window, peeking through the blinds at those nasty neighbours over in the East and in the Global South. Now, they've never really liked BRICS, have they, Augie?
They never did.
Yeah, they've always had it in for them. So we're going to do a bit of old headline ping pong, one of our favourites here at the Moscow Mules. Augie's going to start with a few little very incisive and informed views from the West when the BRICS gig kicked off. What have you got there, Augie?
So, back from 2011, Council on Foreign Relations writes, "Don't bet on the BRICS."
And the New York Times, an artificial block built on catchphrases, 2012.
From 2013, Wall Street Journal, BRICS fade as engine of growth.
And the World Economic Forum in 2014, is BRICS having a midlife crisis? I don't think so, baby.
And of course, there's Guardian from 2016 now saying, has the BRICS bubble burst?
Oh, yeah, it burst and exploded all over your face. Because in reality, what BRICS is doing now, it's giving people a new way of doing business, a fairer, more equitable way to do things. The age of divide and conquer is coming to an end, and unite and prosper is upon us. And the numbers also tell us that story, correct, Augie?
Well, right now, numbers show that BRICS countries provide almost 37% of the world GDP, while, you know, the G7 countries, the Westoids, are at minimal 29%.
Is that the G for Genocide 7?
Yes, exactly, the Genocide 7. And here comes the IMF prognosis, which says that BRICS countries are going to be the motor of the growth in the future, with India getting plus 7%, China going plus 4.8%, and Russia going at 3.6%, while the Genocide 7 is struggling at 1/2%, while Germany is at zeros or even negatives.
And, of course, lots of people in the West hoping that a few fisticuffs might break out in these little bilateral meetings that took place on the sidelines. You had Modi and Xi getting on very well. And let's not forget that Modi and Xi have some difficulties, particularly with border disputes up in the Himalayas. Now, it's interesting how the boys have so far dealt with these when their two militaries met up in the mountain passes. There was a kind of gentleman's agreement, and the gentleman's agreement was no firearms or knives or pointed weapons. All you could do was wade in there with the old fists and an old shtick, as we say in Ireland. Let's check it out. Run the video, Augie. So this is basically Chinese and Indian soldiers getting it on medieval style. Look, no guns allowed, so you can throw stones and you can use sticks. And so it's basically sticks and stones will break your bones. And I was just asking Augie, why can't we sort out all our military conflicts with those sticks and stones? I wonder how the Israelis would be getting on out in the Middle East right now if they can only fight with sticks and stones and all those hundreds of millions of Arabs around them could do the same. How would the Israelis be getting on, do you think, Augie?
Well, the question is, Che, how much Raytheon will charge for a stick?
Oh, nice. And of course, it wasn't just big world leaders that turned up. Antonio Guterres, the UN chief, he turned up as well, and he got a traditional Slavic welcome. He also ended up, stirring up the ire, the anger of the Ukro-Nazis, and poor old Antonio ended up on the Mir Tvorets kill list. Along with my good self. Welcome to the club, Antonio. Welcome to the club. And as India and China sat down together and seemed to really warm and really get some business done, solving the problems, getting their heads together, doing what real statesmen and leaders should be doing, the Iranians were also in town. There's rumors that they've just signed a deal to license the building of Russian fighter jets out there in the Middle East. Watch out, Tel Aviv. And somebody back in the old days, very, very sharp, sharp as a tack. I can't think of his name. What's his name? Just, he used to be president. Kind of fell over a lot.
Old Joe.
Sleepy Joe. Sleepy Joe had a thing or two to say about, Russia, India and China and Iran. Basically, a prophecy to make about how this alliance would potentially go. Back in 1997. Run the video, Augie.
Connected with the loss of empire, wounded pride, and most importantly, uncertainty about Russia's place in the world of the 21st century. And were you in their spot, you would be the same, in my view, and yeah. I would. Where do they go? I had one interesting comment. Our conversation was Zaganov, which was repeated with Lebed. They talked about they don't want this NATO expansion.
It's weird listening to him actually speak in a normal accent,
well,
isn't it?
If you do that, we may have to look to China. And I couldn't help using the colloquial expression from my state by saying to Zaganov, lots of luck in your senior year. Good luck. And if that doesn't work, try Iran.
Yeah, and they have, and they will, and they're going to. And that's the way it's rolling, boys. It's the dawn of a new age.
Not so funny anymore, eh?
And of course, staying in the US, while the big boys, the statesmen, sit down and solve their problems here in Russia, out in Kazan, in the States, show rolls on. Nobody seems to want to talk about policy. And meanwhile, the national debt in the US is way, way over $33, $34, $35 trillion. I'm not sure exactly. Augie, it's even gone up in the last number of days, right?
Right, it jumped $500 billion. In just 3 weeks. So by the time this show airs, might be completely different.
Yeah, and even people like Big Elon, he's saying that the USA could go bankrupt. I'm pulling down the shutters, mama. I ain't got no buns to sell. What is the real reality here? What is it all about? It doesn't seem to be about anything other than the cult of personality, and it's quite a vacuous cult at that. Augie?
Never let anyone take your joy from you. I call myself a joyful warrior. Oh. Right? Never let anyone take your joy from you.
Oh. Big joint.
Should never again stand behind the seal of the President of the United States!
What the f*** is that? I mean, she is just uber retarded. There's nothing going around in there. It's like if she moves her head to the center, it sounds like a marble rattling around in a can. Me. And it really makes you wonder. Kamala has had a ton of cash flushed into her campaign as soon as they decided that Joe Sharp has attacked Biden wasn't the man for the run for the White House. They released the hounds. They released the money. Mr. Biden lay down, got out of the way, and the money started to flow in. Bill Gates even gave her $50 million to make sure she gets it over the line. But it doesn't look like she's getting anything over the line because she can't even employ a decent speechwriter, okay? Listen to this stuff, right? She keeps saying the same stuff at every rally as if nobody's watching. Newsflash, Kamala, there's a thing called the internet and recording videos. We know you're a complete bimbo. Run the video, Augie. What the f***? It's exactly the same. Oh, man, this is just mind-numbingly drivelish, isn't it? I mean, come on, you gotta have something to say. Maybe you get this sense as well, like Augie and I do here in the Center of Disinformationology. If you listen closely enough, you can kind of hear in the background the creak of metal and the snap of little nuts and bolts. The wheels are just starting to come off Kamala's campaign. There's a smell of blood in the water. The Big Don knows it. And guess who has been rolled out? It's almost like an act of desperation. It's the Soy Boy crew. It's the president of the Young Gay Association of of Michigan. It's a Michiganian. I'm a Michiganian. Nobody gives a flying who you are, my friend. And if you really want to lose an election, these are the types of, you know, fish fingers in coats that you really want to roll out mid-campaign. Only 2 weeks to go. Run the video, Augie.
My name is Maxine Kirkpatrick.
I Who gives
am born and bred Michigander, a fellow on the Michigan One campaign.
Michigander? A Michigander? What the f*** is a Michigander? Nobody gives you who you are, bro. Nobody.
Is it a bro or a sis? I can't even tell.
And while the Soy Boys get it on for Kamala, somebody's kind of getting a bit disinterested in her, you know, portraying herself as, you know, a middle-class black girl. She ain't black at all. Neither of her parents are from any kind of African-American background. Did you know that? Guess why? That's why I was calling her blackish last week. Ooh, alarm bells. But the black people, the actual black African-Americans, are getting a bit pissed off with Kamala's bullshit. And they've decided to come out with some interesting phrases of why you should say no to the female presidential candidate, let's say. Run the video, Augie.
You gotta say no to that hoe.
You gotta say no.
Because that hoe is just as bad as Joe. You gotta say no.
Can I give you my email?
You gotta say no to the hoe. I mean, it's kind of catchy, right? Last week there was an earworm. I think no to the hoe could be this week's one, Augie. What you reckon? And just like the Big Don was bending over backwards for the Jewish vote, and it kind of backfired a bit. They're all going to vote for Kamala, apparently. The blacks are now all going to vote for the Big Don. And maybe it was all influenced. Maybe this decision-making has been influenced by this kind of lawn art that erupts around little houses in the highways and byways of the United States at election time. And some people really have a talent for this stuff. They even go as far as creating the fountains of Versailles. Run the video, Augie.
It's an art, an American art.
Oh my God. Imagine having to live that life. Mm-hmm. Things ain't so bad here in Russia, actually. And as the wheels do drop off Kamala's campaign, there's no doubt about it. The polls are looking, you know, looking good for Don. There is a smell of desperation. She's even gone back to revisit the very awkward, almost spooky, a bit grisly clip of Jimmy Carter, the ex-president. He looks like he's just been wheeled out of a fridge in Roswell. But it did stop her encouraging people to vote early, like good old President Jimmy. Now, if you had a snooker cue and a cue ball, you could probably knock it into that mouth of his to knock all the flies out. I don't even know if he's actually still alive. Very interesting stuff. Run the video, Augie.
So, look, if Jimmy Carter can vote early, you can too.
And actually, speaking of Jimmy Carter voting, there are actually some reports and some headlines in the States that dead people are expected to vote en masse for Kamala Harris, probably. Mm-hmm. This stuff could all become very important if it doesn't go Don's way on November 5th. So what was the Big Don up to, I hear you say, in television land, while Kamala's show was going from bad to worse? Well, some people think that all he needs to do is sit back and relax, maybe grab a burger, maybe fry one up, and take a bit of part-time work at McDonald's, while Kamala just walks out across the minefield and screws the pooch all on her own. So that's what he did. The Big Don headed down to McDonald's and decided to cook up a bit of a storm. Western media weren't at all happy happy with it. They were suggesting, was this all staged? It didn't look staged to me. It looked like an absolute PR win. Run it, Augie.
My hands are nice. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this is PR gold, you know? McDonald's, this American icon, you know, everybody. I mean, who doesn't like McDonald's? Everybody. But here at the Center for Disinformationology, we only ever use absolutely accredited, non-AI generated clips. And Organis has used his immensely powerful analytical brain to discover some videotape of what actually happened that day. The Western media are telling us that the Big Don sent a COVID testing machine to Putin in the Kremlin, and that he loves these big, hard men leaders. It's complete bull. Run the video, Augie. The boy's out for a spin. Yeah. Here we go. Let's go in. McDonald's. There's the Big Don. Part-time work. Back through the gardens. Oh, yes. Wicked. Mm-mm. The boys are going to enjoy that one. Sweet.
Oh, I didn't do the thing about Kamala. I'm just going to do it and you can plug it in somewhere. Watch this one. Watch. You ready?
And it's a good thing it wasn't Kamala that took a bit of part-time work in McDonald's, because every time she gave out a burger, she'd have to ask, would you like lies with that? Instead of fries. You like that one? Instead of fries. And as if by complete coincidence, just as the Big Don scores a huge PR success with his McDonald's gig, something happened, Augie, didn't it? Something very, very strange. As soon as the Big Don decided to start giving out the old quarter pounder with cheese, McDonald's suffered a very rare and very unlikely food poisoning scandal. Suddenly, people are getting E. coli from McDonald's burgers. They're not that desperate, right? Right? And it's very important for us to say that we're neither pro-Kamala or pro-Trump. You know, we think they're both quite mental, actually. We think America do a lot better. And interestingly, a recent Wall Street Journal article suggested that Trump had warned Vladimir Putin. Doesn't seem like the kind of guy you want to be warning, that he would hit Russia straight in the middle of Moscow if this or that happened. It's kind of unlikely. Augie, we got any ideas of what might happen to the US if the center of Moscow was hit? How do you think that might look for the other side?
I actually have a video for you, dear viewers, of how it's going to end up.
We're on the video, Augie. Oh.
That was New York.
Yeah, well, some parts of San Francisco might actually look better. Actually, there's been an interesting phenomenon taking place in some of downtown Detroit and Baltimore. The only good thing about buying real estate in those areas is that after a Russian nuclear strike, the place will look exactly the same as it did before. You know, and speaking of all-out Armageddon, of course, we're going to need some people to get over there. Oh, over there, you know, the Marines, the U.S. Marine Corps, these were the toughest nuts in the U.S. military. Men of action have now become women of action, and they're not women of action either. These are the Marines who are scared of water. Yeah, it's true. It's like the British Navy. You don't need to know how to swim anymore. meanwhile, the Russian army doesn't even stop for lunch as it heads west in Ukraine. Run the video, Augie. Yeah. So this is the perfect PR candidate for the U.S. Marine Corps. A black woman who doesn't want to get into the water. No. Yeah. So just hold the battlefield, stop shooting at us as the landing craft comes down. I need to get acclimatized. Yeah. Oh, it's insane.
They're not going to show this in Hollywood movies, are they?
No. Shaving Ryan's privates and leaving the Marines at the bottom of a swimming pool somewhere in Paris Island. We're going to head to Australia, a place a long way from the United Kingdom, but still with the head of state from the United Kingdom, good old Charles. He's got about 15 palaces, you know, about 800 staff. A man very concerned about the struggles of the pensioners who recently had their fuel allowance stolen from them by two-tier Keir. He decided to take a little bit of a winter holiday, head down to see how the subjects are down under, mate. But it didn't go too well. Miss Lydia Thorpe, which is a very Aboriginal sounding name, right? Absolutely. And she looks completely Aboriginal to me. Kind of like Kamala Harris looks completely black-ish. Remember what I said? She decided to make her feelings known when good old King Sausage Fingers Charles decided to take a seat on the throne. Run the video, Augie.
You committed genocide against our people. Give us our land back. Give us what you stole from us.
Something very European-looking about this Aboriginal senator.
Her claims are legit, though.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You are the traitor of this country. Mm-hmm.
Can't argue.
Yeah. Nobody's too worried about the poor wolf on your back. So who is this lady, Lydia Thorpe? She's actually an Australian senator. And in fairness to her, she's been a very, very dogged, campaigner for the rights of the Aboriginal people. And things are pretty grim for the Aboriginals,
right,
Augie?
Right. Even now, in 2024, Indigenous Australians are overrepresented in lower income bands. Back in 2021, 35% of Indigenous adults were living in households at the bottom 20% of the income distribution. Just to get you a picture, things are so bad there that there have been cases of leprosy among them.
Leprosy, wow. I thought that was a thing of the past, kind of like the monarchy. And maybe she has every right to be really pissed off with the British Crown. Run the video, Augie.
I, Sovereign Lydia Thorpe, do solemnly and sincerely affirm and declare that I will be faithful and I bear true allegiance.
She's got the old fist up.
Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
Senator Thorpe.
I mean, she's just not buying it, is she?
This is a war! You know what I say? You know what I say?
She's getting stuck in.
You know what I say to you?
She's not the kind of chick you want to bring home to meet the parents.
A black man that stands with a white little like that.
Yeah.
He's been all getting.
Imagine you called her love. You just said to her, sit down, love, take it easy. You'll end up wearing your dinner.
And you let me you are marked.
Get out of my face. I wonder where she is on the crazy sexy axis.
They know what
I'd say she's pretty high.
And
what she got? She got her equipment out there. What was that? Did she get them out, yeah? Did the thorpeny bits come out there?
Isn't she a fun lady?
I'm a fun lady. And while Charles is on his little jaunt down under, things are pretty grim as well back home. People are even having to throw out their poor old muggies. Their old cats are getting the old heave-ho. A British charity is telling us that there's a lot of people having to dump the old cat because they can't afford the old kitty cat, the Whiskers. Meow. Such a pussy of a king, that man. And on top of that, they've decided to let loads of people out of jail. Crime rates are up, Augie. Assaults are, up. We've got a big problem. So what would you do? What would be the right thing to do? The right strategy? Two-tier care, yeah. So you would just keep releasing prisoners from jail. Recently, 1,100 more were let out, but at least we know, right, Augie, that these dudes were, they were all in there for parking tickets or, drink driving or something. Not that that's not a serious offence, but kind of not paying their TV licence or their electricity bill. There was nothing serious, right?
Not exactly, Che. One among those released, told reporters that he had served 7 years for kidnap and grievous bodily harm of someone who owed money to his friend.
Just a bit of kidnap, yeah. But look, the main thing is that the streets of London are basically safe, right? You're not going to run into a sort of a machete melee in the middle of the day in the capital city with a load of dudes hacking at each other with massive zombie-style knives and hatchets, right?
In the clown world, you will.
Ooh, run the video. So this is like middle of the day on the street. They don't give a... That's a sword one of them has. One of them has a samurai sword and one has a machete. Like, hell. India and China up in the Himalayas, it ain't. It's London. And while it all goes to in London, in the old imperial capital of the British Empire, the senior diplomat, a man of great intellect and knowledge and balance, Mr. Lammy, His government has decided not to give reparations for slavery. He doesn't want to talk about that, despite the fact that at the UN he did want to talk about slavery and the fact that he was a black man. I didn't know this, Augie. Now, Mr. Lamy has an interesting history. He once told Donald Trump that he was a Nazi, basically, and that he would slap him, but he had to then crawl, I'd say, to the Big Dome when he met him in New York. Let's have a look at Mr. Lamy's previous interactions with the press before he became the top diplomat in the United Kingdom. Remember, illustrious people like Liz Truss, the lettuce in a skirt, she also occupied the role, famously called an idiot by Mr. Lavrov. Run the video.
It's probably the case that only that trans women don't have ovaries, but a cervix, I understand, is something that you can have following various procedures and hormone treatment and all the rest.
I mean, this is what it's come to. You can have a cervix. What the f*** use is a cervix? Like putting a gate in a wall. There's nothing beyond the gate. There's nothing there. It's pointless. It's just retarded. It's this cult of absolute wokery insanity. But it doesn't get any better because Mr. Lamy decided to appear on a very famous quiz show out back home called Mastermind. You sit in a chair, kind of reminds me of myself, and you answer questions and you display your knowledge to the world. Didn't go down too well for old Dave when he took the famous chair. Run the video, Augie.
Who acceded to the English throne at the age of 9 on the death of his father, Henry VIII, in 1547?
Henry VII.
Edward VI. Which country's so-called Rose Revolution of 2003 led to the resignation of its president, Edward Shevardnadze?
Yugoslavia.
No, it was Georgia. You had 5 passes.
And by the way, he also thought that Marie Antoinette, who famously lost her head over a bit of cake, won the Nobel Peace Prize. Nice one, Dave. And sadly, that brings us to the end of another episode. And I think the tone of this week's show has all been about partnership and how partnership and understanding and equality, real equality, not just talking equality like Mr. Lamy and the stooge politicians in the EU, the selective application of democracy and sovereignty, places like Kosovo, different story in Donbass and Crimea when people vote. So I think what it's all about is as the West shakes its fist at BRICS and shakes its fist at Russia, China and Iran, all the great emerging powers, maybe you should be voting for politicians who want to reach out a hand and shake a hand, because a new dawn is coming and we're going to be here to narrate the big adventure as it comes over the hill. We'll see you next week. How's that? What a show.